Eloquent, yeah. Then I thought about Brother Savage. You know, kind of Spurgeonish. Spurgeonish, you know. Or maybe D.L. Moody. Then I thought about Brother Noah. And I had to go way back for him. He's kind of like John the Baptist, you know. Yeah. Of course, in modern times, he'd be a white T.D. Jakes. Youth service, you can get away with that kind of stuff in youth service. Youth camps are always different. You can do crazy stuff than them, you know. All right, I appreciate all that's been done for us. Wonderful food. Tell you what, they're doing a great job. Every time I see that little Debbie truck out there, I fall in love all over again, don't you? Me and old little Debbie, we've had a long love affair. So appreciate Brother Stanley and them, Brother Noah, the food, the place to stay. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Judges. I want to preach to you there. God would help us. The Lord been dealing with my heart, and I hope I can get to you what God gave to me. If I can, then I'll be done my job, and I'm believing God to come by and help us tonight. Looking forward to hearing Brother Shad again tonight. Tell you what, the preaching has been wonderful. It's really helped me. Judges, the 16th chapter. Going to read one verse of Scripture. Try to preach to you if the Lord would help us. Judges 16 and 20. If you have that, say amen. Amen. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, when it's talking about that he wist not that the Lord was departed from him, you'll read another place that the Spirit of the Lord moved on him, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, at times in the camp of Dan. Actually, what happened is the Holy Ghost had lifted off of Samson. I want to preach tonight to our young folk, if the Lord would help me, on the value of the Holy Ghost, the worth of him in our lives, what he really means to us. Now, I know what he means to some folk. You know, I remember, you know, we used to be around a lot of the Church of God, those that were of the Church of God persuasion, and they would seek for the Holy Ghost just that they might be able to stand up and testify a certain way. They'd stand up and say, thank God I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. But after they'd done that, you would never see the Holy Ghost anymore in their lives, because that's what they were pursuing. But I'm here to tell you the Spirit of God is more in your life than just a one-time occurrence. Amen? In verse 21, it says that they put out Samson's eyes. The Bible said that they bound him in fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. That's what Samson's enemy did to him. They blinded him. They binded him. And they caused him to grind. It was blinding, grinding, and blinding and grinding. That's what our enemy's doing to many of our young people in the day and hour that we're living. He's blinding our children. He's binding them up. And he's causing them to grind in the prison house of this world. As sure as we have escaped sin's prison, there is an enemy of all of our souls that's hunting us down, trying his best to pull us back out of sin or back out of God's presence and back into the sin of this world. There's fetters waiting on you, young folk. I said there's fetters waiting on you. The devil would love to blind you to the goodness of God. He'd love to bind you down till you can't lift your hands and worship God. And he'd love to make you work in this world for something that's temporal, that'll never give you godly gain. He'd love to bind you down in
the sin of this life. And I'm watching a generation right now in our independent holiness movement that's throwing away the goodness of God and the blessings of God. And could I preach to you a little while? You don't know what you're losing when you lose the presence of the Holy Ghost. You don't know what you're really throwing away when you throw away the goodness of God and the power of God in your life. Amen? There was a time in Samson's life that he was not blinded, and he was not binding and grinding in the prison house. There was a time when the Holy Ghost moved on him. In Judges 13 and 25, the Bible says this, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. There was a time in Samson's life that the Holy Ghost fell on him and moved him. I want you to hear me, young folk. Anytime you're talking about the Holy Ghost in a past tense term, anytime you're talking about what the Holy Ghost used to be to you and how you used to worship God and how you used to get in church, then there may be a chance that you've already lost the presence of God. You don't have to talk about it in the past. You can have it right now. I said you can have it right now. Do you have an up-to-date experience with God? How about it? When's the last time you shouted in the house of God? I heard one man say, shouting is shallow. You know the only people that say that? The ones that never shout. Amen. I've seen some say, well, you know, shouting ain't much to it. I'm going to tell you something. Anything God's doing in your life, it's a whole lot to it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some folk, they against shouting. They think you ought to just stand and weep and cry, and I love doing that too. But I'm here to tell you, when the Lord moves on your soul, you're going to do something. You're going to shout, you're going to weep, you're going to rejoice. You're not going to stand there with no emotion in your life. When the God of heaven touches you, it's going to do something in your heart, and it's going to do something in your life. Our pastor said it this morning, time to do away with the excuses and get in the middle of the house of God and let the Holy Ghost have His way. Our seniors are our foundation. I know, you know, when you get a little older, you realize it. I always wondered why them old folks sit there and don't get in as much. Bursitis. You know, all these different things come along. There's something about our youth. They're our strength. They're our future. And when our youth is not on fire for God, we're in trouble. Where our pastor at right now, we've got a good youth group. But of late, it's suffered a lot. It's went through a lot of heartaches and troubles and different things. And we've felt it in our church. We felt that missing element when our youth was going through so many things that it's been going through. And I've noticed what it's done even in our church services. I was talking to my son Michael the other day concerning our church. And I told him, he was saying, Daddy, what do we need to do? And I began to tell him what I had on my heart. But I told him quickly, I said, when our children are not getting involved in the services, we're missing one of the key elements of that church service. It's those young folk that's got the strength in their bodies and the zeal in their hearts to worship until the presence and the power of God comes down. I'll tell you something, sometimes the power of God don't come down in the first 5 minutes of a service. It takes something sometimes to pull down heaven and cast out hell. And there's something about our youth. We need them on fire for God, and we need them full of the Holy Ghost. There was a time in Samson's life when the power of God moved him. I said the glory of God shook him. Are you always talking about what it was and what you once had? Well, hey, young person, let me preach to you a little while. It's time to move it up. It's time to take it off of last month's date and move it to right now. It's time to take it off of last year and move it up to current. I need a move of God tonight. I need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost now. Amen. Notice with me that as soon as the Spirit of God quit moving on Samson, he lost his freedom. He lost his liberty. How many times has The enemy tried to bind him, tried to destroy this man of God. But every time the Holy Ghost delivered him, his own brethren bound him up and delivered him over to the enemy. But the Spirit of God came on him. He tore the bonds asunder and he grabbed up the jawbone of a donkey and he smote him hip and thigh and he destroyed what, 1,000 or more during that battle. There was a time whenever he was in the city of Gaza. And the Bible tells us that they surrounded the city. But God moved on Samson and he picked up the gates of that city and he carried him up on top of a hill. Delilah tried 3 times to destroy him. And in every time God moved on him, she'd cry out, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And Samson would rise up and the power of God would fall on him and he would run after the enemy. But on that last time, that 4th time, Samson told her all of his heart, and she had his hair cut off, and Samson was laying there, and she cried out, the Philistines be upon you, Samson, and he got up and shook himself as times before, but the Holy Ghost didn't come. I said the Spirit of God didn't come, and the enemy bound him up, and put his eyes out, and caused him to grind in the prison house. You hear me? The devil will get you if you lose the presence of God. I tell you how you get away from the devil. You do it through a move of the Holy Ghost, through an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. Won't you listen to me, young folk? How can the devil bind up somebody that's having a move of God in their life? How can the enemy bind you up when the Holy Ghost is moving on you in your life? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That word liberty means freedom. If you're in this service bound up, if you're in this service and you've got fetters on you, can I tell you there is a presence of God here that can set you at liberty. I wonder how many here believe what I'm saying. Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe God can set you free through the power of the Holy Ghost? Then why are we so bound up? We say we believe it. Then why are we so bound up? I tell you what we need to do. We need to take it at face value. We need to grab hold of it at face value because God's wanting to move in our life. Can we look at Samson and learn a lesson from him? First of all, Samson regained what he had lost. Could I tell us you can't keep a good man down and you can't keep a good young person down? Young folk, you don't have to wallow in your failures. You don't have to wallow in the place you're in. You can get up and you can move on. Whatever you have lost, whatever you have left behind, there is a God in heaven that would love to give it back to you. I said you don't have to wallow in failure, but you can't get up. I said you can't get up. Bible said, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Yes, the enemy had put his eyes out. The enemy had blinded him. Yes, the enemy had binded him. And yes, the enemy had him grinding in the prison house. But there's one thing the enemy forgot to do, to keep on shaving his head. Keep on cutting that hair off. The devil thought, well, I cut it off one time and it'll never be like it was. I'm here to tell you there is a God in heaven that would love to pick you up, that would love to pull you up, that would love to pull you out. I'm preaching to some young person here tonight. You're low and you've been made low by the powers of sin. But could I tell you, get up? I said, get up. Samson lived too early to know these 2 verses. But if he had known them, I think he would have probably quoted them that day. He held on to those 2 pillars. Proverbs 24:6 says this, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Whew. You don't have to stay down. Micah 7 and 8 says this, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You know what Micah told the devil? He said, rejoice not against me. Don't get too happy, devil. Don't get to shouting yet. Because after a while, I'm coming up. I'm getting up from where I'm at. It's time to serve notice on the devil. I'm not going to stay down. I'm not going to stay in that place. I want to stop right here and tell our young folk, you can get up. And I'm going to tell you something, we're not down on you. We'd love to help you up. We have a youth camp, and I've centered my ministry for the last 15 or 20 years toward the youth, a lot of it, because I see how important they are and because I see how fragile they are. I see that there is such a need for help to our children. And there's more need today than what it's ever been. In the last 8 to 9 years, pastoring's changed. Everything about the landscape of the holiness movement's changed. And it's because of technology. Everything's changed. Go to a restaurant. Go to Cracker Barrel. Just look around. Everybody you look at's doing like this. Why they sit at the table together instead of saying, hey, Brother Shad, how you doing? They'll say, hey, Brother Shad, how you doing? He'll answer back. This is George B. Duncan. I'm doing good. Huh? That's the way it is now. They sit there and they text in the room, you know, instead of saying, hey, how you doing? I mean, we're getting to the place we don't even know how to carry on a conversation. They don't even know how to spell no more. It's not Y-O-U, it's just you. Yeah. We're living in a different generation. 10 years ago, all of that didn't exist. Texting didn't exist. Facebook wasn't even an issue like it is in the day and hour we're living right now. Social media did not even mean anything whatsoever. Yeah. That's right. And then hashtag. Anybody know what that is? I didn't either. It's pound sign. Hashtag. And they put that on everything when they're sending something. Hashtag. I heard it on the news. They said hashtag. I said, what in the world is a hashtag? I was really scared to ask somebody because I didn't want them to think I was ignorant or stupid. Though some people think that anyhow. But anyhow, I really didn't want to ask it. That is the difference in today and 10 years ago. We're living in a different generation. We're dealing with different children than we did 10 years ago. Oh yeah, they're flesh and blood. They're still mean at times and sweet at other times. But they've got things that we never dreamed they would have. And we're living in a generation where many parents do not supervise their children. Amen. I said, we're living in a generation where many of our parents do not supervise our children. Whoever thought there'd be a day that you could get pornography sent on cell phones just by taking a picture of one cell and forwarding it to somebody else on their cell phone. But that's the generation we're living in right now. That's the time we're living in right as I'm preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a time when our children are bombarded by the waves of sin in this world. Television, you don't need a television anymore. Why, we've got YouTube now, and we can watch anything we want there and get it anytime we want it. It can happen right now, and in 10 seconds or 1 minute, it's on YouTube and it's gone viral and it's running rampant all over the country. I'm here to tell you there is a binding effect on our children. You say, preacher, my child ain't involved in it. I'm here to tell you, you don't know what your child's involved in. You don't know what's got a hold of your children. It's time to shake loose. It's time to have a move of God. It's time to pull down the bars of hell. Amen. You know, when I was in school, if you was going to fool with pornography, You had to go steal it or sneak it out of somebody's house. You wasn't old enough to buy it. And you couldn't just get it anywhere like you can now. It wasn't just readily available like it is now. I'm telling you, we living in a wicked generation. Heard on radio the other day, number one selling pornography in the world right now. Child pornography. We're living in a sick society. A twisted society. And that's what our children are growing up in. Huh? They don't even know what a record is anymore. They think it's just a real big CD. We're just living in a different time. But I'm telling you what, there is time to do. There's time to have a move of God. I believe with all of my heart, the same Holy Ghost that kept generations of days gone by, it can keep our generation that we're living in right now. It came a time in Samson's life to get up. It came a time whenever he had to make up his mind, I'm not going to stay here any longer. And it came a time to get up from where he was at. And it was but one way to get up, by shaking himself until the Holy Ghost moved upon him. I want you to listen to this preacher. There was a day we would shake ourselves. There was a day when we would stir ourselves. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, stir up that gift that is inside of you. It was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. And I am persuaded. I am convinced it's in you also. So stir it up. Can I preach to our young folk a little while? I believe it's in you. I said, I believe it's in there. It's time to shake it up. It's time to stir it up. It's time to see it come forth. It's time for some of us to quote those verses in our life. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. He regained what he had left. But then he received what he had lost. Verse 30 says, he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's. You see, the same Spirit of God that moved on Samson at times in the camp of Dan, it moved on him that day. That day. Yes, he got up. But he got up because the Holy Ghost got him up. There was a reason why he got up. And it wasn't because he did it within his own power. He got up because the Holy Ghost got him up. Samson's hands were on the pillars. And there he was as he began to pray. And as he prayed, he felt something that had been missing in his life for no telling how long. I don't know how long he was grinding in that meal. I don't know how long the presence of God was absent in his life. You see, that brings up a whole new question in your life and in my life. How long has the presence of God been absent? How long has it been since you've been in your prayer closet and the Holy Ghost fell down where you was at? How long has it been that you was coming to church earlier and praying the glory down and casting hell out? How long has it been since God touched your heart, young person, and it was alive and vibrant? Samson hadn't felt the presence of God in a long time, but it changed on that day. As he looked up toward heaven, he said, avenge me of these two eyes, and the presence of God came down. I said, the power of God came down. And Samson felt the Spirit of God, not just a little touch, but he felt the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 10 and 27 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Nothing like the good old Holy Ghost. I said nothing like the good old Holy Ghost. I read where a black preacher climbed up in this pulpit one Sunday, and he took his text. And he read where David had talked about running through that troop, where David said, by my God, I leap over that wall. So that black preacher got to preaching on it. And when he got toward the end of that message, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, old David run through that troop. And old David leaped over that wall. He said, but here's the truth of it. The leaping part is me. But the over part is God. It's my job to leap. Yeah. It's God's part to get me over the wall. You see, the truth of the matter, it's our job to shake. But it's God's part to deliver us out of the bondage that we're in. If God ain't in it, you can shake all day long and you're not going to see anything. But Samson shook his other times and the presence of God came down and the power of God anointed him and he pushed them pillars out from underneath that building and all of it came tumbling down. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell our young folk, the shaking is our part. I said the shaking's our part, but the over is God's. The deliverance is God's. Now, you might say, preacher, what is this shaking business? What have I got to do to be shaken? I'm glad you asked, because I was wanting to tell you about it. It's everyday living for God. You hear me? It's being faithful to the house of God. It's when you get to the house of God, your mind's not on that little girl sitting across the way. But it's on the presence of God. Huh? Time to court when you go out of the house of God. God didn't build this house for you to court in. He built it for you to worship Him in. I know when you first get married, it's just brand new world. So you can't hardly stand it. So when you go to church, you got to sit there and hug up to each other the whole time church is going on. What are you scared? She's going to run off and leave you? Huh? I wouldn't have married her if I was that scared. I told my wife we got married. I said, we ain't going to do the jealousy thing. No. I told her, I said, look, hey, we're just not going to do it. I'm not playing that game. I mean, I didn't get married to play the jealousy game. Hear me? You don't have to be jealous over your spouse. But I'm going to tell you what, God can be jealous over your spouse. When you come to church and that's all you're thinking about. I'm telling you, we're living in a generation right now, that's all our children are thinking about. And they forgot what it is to have a move of God in their hearts and life. I'm talking about shaking yourself in the house of God. It's coming to church and worshiping God. It's reading your Bible. It's fasting. It's developing a prayer life. It's going through all the mechanics of being religious and righteous and holy and seeking for a move of God. And it's whenever you're doing that, all of a sudden the power of God's going to fall and God's going to help you through what you're in. And God's going to pull you through the trouble that you're going through at that time. I can tell you, if you'll do your part, I promise you God will do His. I'm going to tell this and we're going to come and pray. There's been one time in my life I can remember that it was just pure doing what I was supposed to do till God came, that I know brought me through it. I'd went through such a hard time. I hadn't been saved many years. I was still young. The devil was battling my mind, fought mind battles. Any of you young folk ever fought a mind battle? You know, sometimes us parents, we don't think our children even know what a mind battle is. Sometimes we think our children don't know what depression is. They do. Yeah. You let them want a car for Christmas and you get them a bicycle, they're depressed. They know what depression is. Huh? You want them, let them want a Coach purse for Christmas and you get them the $15 purse at Walmart. Yeah. They're depressed. That's right. I mean, it's easy for a child to get depressed because they think their world has got to be such a way. It's got to be such and so manner of a way that anything out of that norm, they think their whole world is flipped upside down. But during that time, I tell you what I did. I didn't do nothing that, you know, you can't search out and find in the Bible. I developed my prayer life and I increased it. I read my Bible. I was faithful to the house of God. When I got to the house of God, I worshiped the God that I serve. And I'm telling you, just like I went into it, I came out of it. I can tell you where I come out of it at. It was in that old sanctuary where we get our food at, right over here. I was in that morning service, and it was probably 94 or 95. Whatever, I can't even remember. Brother McDonald was preaching a meeting, I believe. And Brother Noah came up to me and began to pray with me. I was fighting such a battle. I'd never been in anything like it in my life. And all I know to do was to do what I had to do. To do what I felt like I needed to do. To do what was right until God came by. Well, Noah came up and hugged up to me and began to pray with me. And he told me these words. He said, I'm going to tell you what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you're going to remember what you've been through, but you're not going to hurt anymore. And when he said those words, the Holy Ghost come on me. And it started on the top of my head and just covered my body. And I'm telling you, it was like clouds begin to drift away. And the preacher wasn't lying. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost brought me out that day. Have you been shaken lately? Or are you just sitting in the house of God? I'm telling you, I felt the power of God this morning. I felt the power of God last night. Oh, I believe with all of my heart, if we would shake but just a little bit in these services, if we do what we had to do, the Holy Ghost is going to pull us out. The Spirit of God's going to bring us over. God's going to get us out of it. We've got some young folk here tonight. You're needing a move of God. I said, you're needing a move of God. I'm here to tell you, God is here to move for you. Amen. I wonder tonight, let's stand all over the house. I wonder tonight, and listen, I done told you, we're not down on you. We're not going to look down on you. We're not going to think evil of you. But I wonder tonight if it'd be some young folks say, preacher, that's exactly what I'm needing. I'm needing to get out of what I'm in right now. Well, there's a God in heaven here right tonight. I believe with all of my heart that'll help pull you out of it. We're going to pray with you. I wonder who will be first. Brother Brent, y'all got somebody singing? Maybe somebody come get ready to sing here tonight. While they're coming, I wonder who'll be the first young person to come. Say, that's me, preacher man. That's me. That's where I'm at. That I know that God can bring me over that wall. My part's leaping. My part's stepping out. My part's lifting my hands up. My part's shaking myself. And God's part is bringing me over the top. Who'll be first to step out and come? We're waiting on you. It's your service. It's your opportunity. It's your chance. Would you come? Come on. Here's one. There's more than that. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come and stand. Lift your hands toward heaven. We got some good godly men and women that's going to pray with you. Believe God to touch you and help you. Come on. We've got plenty of time to pray. So don't come thinking, well, we'll pray 2 or 3 minutes and quit. I want you to come and seek the face of the Lord. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to move for our children, don't you? I wonder, mamas and daddies, would you come? Let's gather in and pray. Come on, let's come and pray. Let's come and lay our hands on those that are up here seeking the face of God.
Well, he lay there so long, body wrapped with pain. Friends gathered around him and praying for a change.